On this episode of The Playbook, I have the entrepreneur of the year, the Angel Man, Rob Angel, who actually figured out how to make millions of dollars in this age with a pencil and a piece of paper. That's right, the founder of Pictionary.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur The Playbook. I am so excited to have the founder of Pictionary, Rob Angel.
David.
Welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you, sir.
This is so cool for me because I consider you one of my best friends in the world, and I have waited to have you as a guest because I felt like I wasn't big enough. I didn't want you to think I'm doing Dave a favor by coming on, and like when it would be mutually beneficial, and Here you are, you're going to be launching your book. What's the name of the book?
Game Changer. A little double entendre there,
And how'd you come up with the name?
Oh, it's obviously the game business, but Pictionary and myself, we changed the business. So I changed. So let's go with that.
You know what? Always two things about you, as an entrepreneur, really was interesting. One, how anybody in the modern age could make so much money with a piece of paper and a pencil, right? You're a game changer.
We call it a box of paper.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with that one nuance because it was incredible. How did it all happen? How did you turn, this pencil and a paper into millions of dollars? How'd that all happen?
It was a fluke almost. I'm open to everything. And I moved in with three buddies after college. And we were just playing this activity, sketching words out of the dictionary. My buddy said, hey, you want to play a game? And I was open to trying anything, right? Anything to have fun, anything to just have a better experience. And we started playing this silly game. And we'd be up all night playing charades on paper, drawing, having a ball. And in the morning, the joke became, I remembered saying it would make a good board game, and nobody else did. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it just snowballed from there. And so then I started thinking about it, working on it. But then I got my own way. Right? Mm-hmm. I started overthinking everything. I'm 22 years old, and I'm going, oh, God, now how do I get started? I'm a waiter. I was waiting table. What do I do?
Yeah.
So I put it away for 2 years. Absolutely panicked. And then
were you still playing it for those 2 years, or just put it away?
Yeah, put it away, still playing, traveled to Europe, but yeah. And then I started thinking about it again. I go, how can I get out of my own head? So I put myself in timeout.
Oh.
when you're a kid, you're in timeout because you've done something wrong.
Right, of course.
For me, it's clearing my head.
I call it getting to center, but
To center? Yeah, I agree, 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I had to stop thinking about it.
You know, it's interesting, a lot of times people don't, they don't act upon the seeds of genius or brilliance that come to them. Like, the universe, I believe, gives you a gift, and then when it keeps on trying to pull your attention to it, we have to be open and then act upon it.
Yeah.
Even though you put it away for 2 years, I believe you probably had to experience some things at 22 before you were ready to launch a business. So now, you have this compelling thought, you're open and you're centered. A lot of entrepreneurs now, they're in that place, right? They're obsessed with their idea.
Sure.
But there's a big journey from a million great ideas to selling your business for millions of dollars.
But it starts with one step.
And what was the step?
I went in the backyard with a dictionary, a pad of paper, and a pencil, and started the word list. Because I could visualize, my big idea, my aha moment, I could visualize Pictionary on the store shelf. But the steps to get there just became overwhelming. So I took it, I broke it down to the smallest, easiest first step. Otherwise, it would have never started. I wrote down the word aardvark.
That was the first one.
The first word was aardvark. And I'm rocking, I'm in the backyard, I write aardvark, and I'm going, anybody else see this? aardvark,
You're feeling it.
I'm totally feeling it because I became a game inventor the second I wrote the simple word aardvark. And then wrote a second word. That wasn't difficult. But now I'm getting into the flow. And I just kept doing step after step after step, instead of looking at everything in aggregate, which was, for me, too much.
And as you progress from, getting the words to even asking your friends for permission to make sure you could have the game, to then raising money, where did you go when you realized, okay, I have a really good idea and I have a game, I have a product.
I have a product,
Where'd you go to figure out next, like, how am I going to finance this?
Family and friends, of course. Okay. But the backstory is when I graduated college, right, I was putting myself through school. And the last semester, I ran out of money. And I was tired of putting myself, you know, I was tired of quitting and going back and forth. So I borrowed $2,000 from my uncle to finish school. And he said, sure, just pay me back when you can. So 9 months to the day when I was told, I said I would, I'd send him a check, right? Some months, I didn't have the money. I was broke. So yeah. I'd send him a note. Dear uncle's room, don't have any money. Here, have a good day.
But I remembered, right.
I remembered. I acknowledged that he didn't care what I paid.
Of course.
I acknowledged the debt. It's not going away.
Yeah.
You know, things aren't going away. And so when I approached him for an investment idea for Pictionary, he said, yeah, you're a mensch. You took care of responsibility. And that's why I got the money. Not because it was a great idea. It's because I proved myself.
Right. You had credibility by actually performing and being a man of your word.
Yeah.
Which is a mensch.
That's a mensch. Man of my word, that's
right. So your uncle gives you a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And now you go ahead and perform and get it on the shelves.
Yeah.
What was through, you know, everyone, I think, always thinks the start is the hardest. I always say there's a point in success that's far more difficult than that even beginning persistent, because you have really nothing to lose. And when I've grown businesses, I always called it the $30 million mark in revenue. Like, there just seemed to be a time where it's like, oh my God, I'm so successful, but now I need real money and real real knowledge to scale it to being a world-renowned game. Right. And I will tell you, one of my favorite things about your legacy is I do a lot in Africa for charity, and I was at Richard's camp, this great safari camp, and the game on the shelf was the original Pictionary.
Wow.
And here we are in the Masamara in Africa. I mean, I'm like, zebras, it's crazy.
Wow.
That's how famous my friend is. This is amazing. But what was the most challenging part of the success?
Managing success. That's, you know, everybody plans for failure. I can do that. But planning for the success, I surround myself with great people. I mean, it's very, you know, cliche to say that, but it's true, right? It's the people you surround yourself with that make the business. I couldn't do it on my own, right? So I had my friend, my two business partners, and Jerome, my uncle, there to support the whole way. And there becomes a tipping point for me. So passion, right? Everybody talks about passion. You got to follow your passion. Well, you know, follow your dream. And my son had a great line. He goes, oh, how many days do you have the same dream two nights in a row?
Good point.
I'm going, good point. So at some point, it tips from passion, which is the igniter, which is the genesis for the idea, whatever you want to do. But eventually, you have to love what you're doing, because passion fades. I mean, I used to do demonstrations at the bottom of the escalator for 16 hours a day in Nordstrom's. It was exhausting.
Right.
But I loved my partners. I loved the business. I loved Pictionary. And that's what kept me going.
That is amazing. Now, going from that, what advice, you know, you have your skill set.
Yep.
What advice, though, would you give to an entrepreneur, not necessarily just in the game space, about finding the right people? What were you looking for in those partners? Uncle's fine. I get that one. but you have two partners, and I have a philosophy about partnership. Don't go into them. If you do, make sure your partners have more money. If you don't listen to one or two, go back to number one. For you, what were you looking for in a partner?
I was looking for skills that I didn't have. Right, one of the big killers of entrepreneurship and businesses is entrepreneurs think they can do it all. And we can't. We don't have a skill set. So I stayed in my lane, which was selling, marketing, promoting, inventing, creating.
Inspiring.
Inspiring. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
But I don't want to run a business. It's not my skill set. I need somebody to do that. So I found somebody. The universe found someone for me, I will say, aligned with my partner, Jerry.
And when you got your partner, Jerry, did you take money from him, give him equity? Like, how did you structure it? Because a lot of people, you know, my business coaching, they always ask me, like, what should I do? I think I have the right partner. Do I offer him a salary? Right. How did you structure your partnership?
Well, considering I had no money.
Yeah, which is most entrepreneurs.
Right.
So that's why I'm curious.
I got the partners before I got the financing.
Yeah.
I gave him a percent of the business, right? Before we even started the business, we said we agreed on a price, and we were men of our words. But I filled in giving him a piece of the pie, and it keeps him motivated as well,
right?
But don't give away too much, because as things go on, you may have to give up more to get more financing as you go along. So you got to keep as much as you can. Don't go overboard.
Right, and that's great advice. So in that situation, as you guys exited, right? Yeah. You sold to which big game? Can you
Mattel.
Say?
Yeah,
Mattel.
I
pretty big one.
Public record.
Yeah, public record. You sold to Mattel, and you guys did really well. Did anyone of the partners feel shorted when it was all said and done?
No. And we don't usually talk about it, but Jerome, my uncle, got a really good piece of the company.
Well, of course, and he started it, really.
He started, right? But we never once, when we were sending him the royalty checks, never once begrudged him. He was there from the beginning. He supported us. So, no, we all agreed and lived with it.
As entrepreneurs, that's a really important point, because I just had, you know, I do a lot of business coaching. Yeah. I'm a business advisor in a company where they had no cash, and they gave me equity. Yeah. And they gave a few other advisors that I recommended to them, because I always say, if you surround yourself with all that dummy tax, situational, and relationship capital, you can accelerate your business. It's funny, because now they're very successful, and they have a real VC in there.
Yeah.
And the first thing the real VC says is, hey, you got to go back and dilute those advisors. You gave them too much stock. And I'm thinking, look, I like the guy, you know, and I'm like, hold on a second. You wouldn't be here with this VC wanting to invest, but for, and we took equity, no cash. I would like to have cash. I want to take in the equity.
Sure.
I would have rather had cash. And I said,
less risky.
So, of course, being the man I am, I'm like, no, not a problem. You dilute me as long as the other three guys are fine with it.
Right. I'm not doing this alone.
But there is some liability to be taught, too, because a lot of times those situations occur and there's a big payday, and all it takes is one person to say, hey, this isn't fair, and create a lawsuit,
right?
Which creates a whole other problem. So it was really great when I look at your relationships that you maintained your word from day one and managed the expectations, and everyone kept their word. And I think abundantly, that's why the deal worked so well, is everybody, you know, appreciated what everyone brought to the table.
Right.
And there's no one in the world like you and or anyone else, right? That's our fingerprint.
There is no way Pictionary happens the way it did without Terry, the business, and Gary, the graphic artist, and me, right? Yeah. Without the three of us, right time, right place, aligning together, Pictionary doesn't happen the way it did. It just takes that whole dynamic. It's never alone.
And so now you guys sell out, and here's what the second thing that always stood out to me was that I'm someone that, through my success at a young age, as you had, blew it, right? I surround myself with the wrong people now and the wrong
ideas.
Talking
about yourself. Then.
Yeah, I'm talking about myself.
All right.
And you know, I was blessed to have my wife and my mom, because that's what saved me. Yeah. But in the end, you know, one of the things I looked at and admired most about you is, it's one thing to do one exit. It's another thing to catapult that into, and you did, you invested in the right things, whether it be your houses, your stocks, or whatever. You are a person who I believe has an unconscious competency, like myself, to make money. Right. I believe that's an unconscious competency, energetic and genetically, we're built for this.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with our true talents, we're just built. But the one energy you had that I've copied and mirrored and learned from was how to maintain and grow your wealth.
Right.
Right. It's one thing to make it. I've always made it. Even when I lost everything, I was still making money.
Right.
But how to maintain it. And you had did an extraordinary job. But there also was a period of your life where I think because you were able to maintain everything, you got bored. Or unfulfilled?
We'll go unfulfilled.
Yeah,
I was never
bored.
I appreciate that.
No, but because entrepreneurs, I mean, there is a point of success where you're like, what do I do now? And now you're like an entrepreneur searching for something. And I think this book is a great purposeful venture for you.
Right.
What does that feel like? Because everyone else thinks you have everything.
Right. Well, the quick back to that, though, is when the money started coming in, I went to some mentors, right? I went to people that I trusted. And the advice I got was brilliant. It's why I am sitting here today. He says, don't figure out what the money can do for you. Figure out the intention you want for your life and invest accordingly. And for me, the number one thing in my life is freedom. I want the freedom to go back to work. I want the freedom to write the book, raise my kids, whatever I want to do. And so every investment I made got me closer and closer to freedom. I didn't want to give that up.
That's awesome.
And that's what I did. But it also, when I sold the company, I had about 15 years where, like I said, I got to raise the kids, I traveled, I mentored, I was giving back, I was involved with a charity. So I was really active, I mean, really fulfilled. But the last couple of years, I'm feeling a little, it's time to do it again. Yeah. And with the book and speaking, I need the fulfillment.
It's interesting, as your friend and someone who co-mentors each other, you know, we're good sounding boards for each other.
Yes.
That's what I love, and I think everyone should have someone in a co-mentoring relationship more than inferior superior, just someone that'll tell you the truth. Yeah, and we're both very honest with each other. Sometimes it hurts our feelings.
Sure. I almost said too honest, but no,
we're not too honest.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but I see the greatest piece of advice from this is, number one, stay open.
Absolutely.
Right? Two, you said go back to center.
Yep.
And three, the extraordinary one, right, is intent. You use that word intent.
Yeah, intent.
And as your friend and someone who's watched you, like, you could never articulate your intent anymore. And it sounds like through the hard work and then the raising of the kids and that side,
right,
there's always this great intent. And over a few years, all of a sudden, you were searching for a new intent. You were always open, right? And you always knew how to go back to center. You weren't someone, you know, if you had one down day, you know, in the morning drinking coffee, feeling sorry for yourself. By the afternoon, you were in Kentucky or somewhere having a great time going, I'm glad I'm here.
I'm free.
Exactly. But what now is your intent?
My intent is to share. My intent is to share my story and help inspire other people and motivate other people to take that first step, to, you know, be proactive with their life and just get out there. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, if I can do it, anybody can. I'm a waiter, for goodness sakes. That's the only job I've ever had. Right?
That's what I love about me and you. It's like we're friends with Warren Moon, right? And the problem with Warren Moon is when people look up to him and say, I want to do that, they're like, well, maybe I'm not quite as good as that, right? I mean,
right. That's a skill.
Like they
that's
look
a,
at yeah, us, yeah. They're like, if these two turkeys can do
absolutely.
It. But we share that openness of, I always say, we never limited the point of entry. We weren't listening to everyone else.
I love that term when you said that.
You know, because we don't. And, you know, we don't define ourselves by, you know, what we do. We're not defining ourselves by how much we have.
Yep.
And the best one is that we both have together learned over the last 15 years we've been friends. This one is, I see us evolve, and it's really critical to our happiness, is we are not the opinions of others. We're both, we cared so much what everybody else, when we first met, it was like, we were kowtowing to everyone because, oh my God, do they like me? Or, you know, was that okay?
How can I make them happy at the expense of myself?
Yeah, and I see a backbone that's grown in both of us.
Absolutely.
To what we want. Last question as a great entrepreneur. What legacy, right? You have this nice long life ahead of you, and you have so many different opportunities and options. What legacy do you want to leave? Besides the African Pictionary, which is a huge, huge legacy.
Well, my kids, obviously, you know, that's, we always say that's
of course.
Cliche,
yeah,
but
besides your kids.
My kids, that's fine. Yeah, I just want to leave a legacy of can-do, right? Of people that say, I can do whatever I want. However they get there, that's on them, right? If I can help them take that step, that's great. But I want a bunch of people out there going, yeah, I listen to Rob and I think I can do this. And that's what I want people to do.
And it takes sacrifice. You know, everyone likes to say you're an overnight success.
But 17 years.
Yeah. And that seems to be a common date, like 14, 17, 21 years. It is, you know. And you, like, it's good for people to hear that you're at the bottom of the escalator at Nordstrom for 16 hours. Right? Because everyone just sees, oh, I'm just going to, once I get into Nordstrom's, that's it. It's going to sell, right?
No.
Right.
I mean, I'd literally walk down the street for weeks with a Pictionary game under my arm, walking down the street saying, well, if they can sell anything, they might as well be selling Pictionary. I went to real estate companies, department stores. I went to bookstores, toy stores. That didn't matter to me. There's no manual for any of this.
Yeah.
Right? So for 17 years, I was slugging it out and having a ball, learning, growing, but it was a lot of work, which I loved.
Enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential.
There you go.
And you are a game changer. And I can't wait to read the book as well.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for being my friend.
Thank you, David.
This is Rob Angel.
David.
Founder of Pictionary, and even more importantly, Superbench, Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.